Have you noticed sometimes that you are living in your head and having what I call a virtual life experience? In today's episodes, I'm going to share with you the five signs you're living in your head, what causes you to live in your head, and most importantly, 10 ways to help you get out of your head and into your body. I'm Sam McCool, and welcome to A Higher Branch. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of A Higher Branch, a really interesting one. I've been guilty of living in my head at various times in my life. And you know, you have these experiences sometimes where you arrive at a destination or maybe fast forward an hour and you think, what did I do in the last hour? It's because you've been living in your head, which means that you are not really experiencing the world through your five senses. And it's really no way to live. We do need to get lost in our thoughts sometimes at appropriate times, but not to the point where it starts impacting in our mental health. And I'm going to discuss how that happens. But in the Higher Branch Circle of Conscious Living framework, I have a formula that says that you need to spend your waking hours living 90% in your body. In other words, living in the moment, being mindful in the moment. 5% in your head in the morning, exercising the power of vision, and 5% of your day in the evening, exercising the power of reflection. And I'll discuss what they each mean at another time. But really, that's the only time, right? 10% of your day maximum is when you should be living in your head or lost in your thoughts. But it's got to be a conscious decision. So you know that you're going to get lost in your thoughts in a deliberate manner so you can exercise your creative imagination to visualize the life that you want. That's the vision. And that is usually a right brain activity. And in the evening, you got to use both your left brain and your right brain to critically analyze how you felt for the day. And that's when you use the power of thought to reflect on the day and process any negative emotion, any hurts, anything that you felt through the day. Because rather than going to sleep with it and letting it build up over time, you process it each evening. And that's, look, I won't go much deeper because I will do a separate episode on that and I have lots of workshops on these very topics. But for today's purposes, all I want you to know is that living in your head throughout the day is not normal. So before I share with you the five signs you're living in your head, firstly, a warm welcome to all our new listeners. We're getting many new listeners every week, and I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you do, you may want to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you are an existing listener of A Higher Branch and you haven't already done so, please take your phone out and give me a rating and review. If you are really enjoying these episodes and adding value to your life and the people in your life that you share them with, please give me a rating and review, because we live in a time with so much confusion, so much distraction, an overwhelming amount of information that we're bombarded with. It can get confusing, and I see A Higher Branch as a source of clarity so people can take control of the controllables and live a contented, purpose-driven life. So if you could do that for me, I would really appreciate it. Okay, now let's dive into this topic a little more. Now, if your job entails being innovative, coming up with new ideas, new strategies, which are really the most essential skills for this next decade and beyond, because as artificial intelligence takes over the more the mundane tasks, really the number one skill you're going to be valued for as a human is your creativity, your creative imagination, and your problem-solving skills. And guess what? The body, not the mind, is the source of creativity and empathy. And I've added empathy in there because it's a critical quality for success in any job, right? In fact, it's a critical quality for success in any relationship, whether it's your partner, your family, your work colleagues, your clients, your friends, right? You need to have empathy for others to succeed in life generally. Because when you have empathy for others, you're able to design good customer experiences. You're able to also show sensitivity to the other person if it's a personal relationship. And it allows you to be thoughtful and considerate in the relationship as well. And here's the thing, if you are always lost in your thoughts, you're going to find it very difficult to connect with people. You're going to struggle in your job. You're going to struggle with intimacy with your partner. You're going to struggle to really listen to your children when they're talking to you. So have you ever noticed it when you're lost in your thoughts? You know, your children, if you're listening to this and you have children, they're talking to you and you're just going, right? I say this because I've been there, right? It was very difficult for me to get out of my head and into my body until I realized, and this then paralleled my success, that it's my body that has all the intelligence, the creativity, which is why the 10 tips I'm going to give you later will not just get you out of your head and into your body and be better for your mental health and emotional well-being, it's actually going to be important for your success. Okay, so before I share those 10 tips, I want to first go through the telltale signs and the reasons why we live in our head. When you know what they are, when you know the signs and the reasons, then the techniques for getting out of your head is going to make a lot more sense. You're going to have aha moments, I promise you. Okay, the 5 signs you're living in your head. Number 1, you don't notice beauty around you. Yeah, we've all been there. You can go for a walk, but not notice the blue sky or the chirping birds or the flowers that we pass in people's front yards or the sparkle in your children's eyes, right? So we lose the ability to notice beauty around us. And that is probably the saddest sign that you're living in your head. I remember driving over the Harbour Bridge at one stage many years ago. And after I got to the other side, my wife called me and she said, "By the way, when you went over the bridge, did you notice that beautiful sunset?" And the saddest part was I was thinking and ruminating in my head so much that I completely missed it. I missed the beauty. And it is these moments of beauty that stay with us forever and give us that joy. So for me, that is the first sign that you're living in your head. The second sign is when your breathing is shallow. See, breathing is an instant barometer of your thoughts and feelings, right? If you are living in your body, if you are in touch and connected and completely self-aware of what's going on in your body, your breathing is deeper. Now, you may not notice this, but maybe you can ask your partner to say, "Hey, tell me when I'm shallow breathing." And more often than not, it will be when you are driving, you're in meetings, sitting for long periods of time, you're in front of a laptop, you're binge watching TV, or you're scrolling social media. So if you catch yourself shallow breathing or your partner reminds you, then you know that you are lost in your thoughts and living in your head and you need to get out of it. I'm telling you these signs because when you notice them, I want you straight away to go into those 10 techniques to get out of your head. Because if you stay lost in your thoughts for too long, it's going to become a habit. And rewiring that takes a lot of time. But don't lose hope because every night when you have a good night's sleep, you actually reset. And your ability to change that habit becomes within your control. The third sign that you're living in your head is when you feel like you're always on the edge of anxiety or mild depression. So if you are sometimes sitting watching a TV show and there's something that's mildly upsetting and then you find yourself too emotional, your emotional response is not in proportion with what you've just seen on television, then that should tell you that you're always on the edge of mild anxiety or mild depression. And that usually happens because you're always living in your head. So if you feel like you're always suffering from mild anxiety or mild depression, it's probably a telltale sign that you're living in your head. And the easiest way to fix that is to get into your body. And I'm going to share that with you shortly. But let's move on to the fourth sign that you're living in your head. And that is you become a person who is all talk, no action. And I say this with the utmost of respect because I've been there. You know what I'm talking about here. Like you sign up for the gym, but you give up after a few times or you don't even go. Or you buy a recipe book, but don't cook. You say you're going to read to your children at night, but you're always too busy or you arrive home too late or you are too tired and you come up with excuses and you end up flopping in front of the television. And I probably have you thinking now, and you can probably think of other examples where you indulge in talk but no action. Because remember, action grounds you in the present moment. So when you are lost in your head, you have no motivation to take action. Okay, let's move on to number 5, and this is when you focus on consuming and not creating. So what I'm talking about here is whether it's media to fatten the brain or food to fatten the body, these days, everyone wants to eat, but nobody wants to grow or cook food. Everyone wants to read or watch, but not many want to actually write or produce. So to become a creator and not just a consumer, when I say creator, a creator of anything in the eight areas of life that you want to create, the life of your dream, whether it's wealth, the family, the relationship, the job, the business, you can't achieve those things if you are always lost in your thoughts and living in your head. Okay, now I'm going to move on to what causes you to live in your head. These causes are quite deep, so I'm only going to cover them at a superficial level, and really it is something that you should cover in therapy with a trained expert. So, what causes you to live in your head? The number one cause is when feelings hurt too much or you have unexpressed emotions, you end up retreating into your head. Let me repeat it because it's important. If your feelings are hurting too much, or you have emotions inside of you that you have not expressed to somebody else, then you automatically retreat into your head and you check out of the present moment. You check out of your body. Okay, the second cause for you to live in your head is the too much use of technology and social media. This is by far the most insidious and the most addictive. And this is where you are having a virtual life experience and not a real one. The third cause is work that requires you to sit and think for long periods of time. So if you have a job that requires you to do that because it's highly analytical, you need to have a break every half an hour. And that break needs to be for a minimum of 5 minutes. And ideally, when I say a break, I don't mean a break from your work and then scrolling social media. I mean literally getting out of your chair and going for a walk for 5 minutes, preferably out in sunshine, where you close your eyes, look up at the sun, and feel the warmth on your face. And the fourth cause that keeps you living in your head is not enough socializing, not enough face-to-face, in-person social interaction, which is unfortunately a common fact in today's society where we are connected digitally, but socially we are so disconnected. But look, don't stress. I'm going to share with you now 10 ways to get out of your head and into your body. Number one, exercise and sports, right? Now, second to dancing, this is an instant way to get you out of your head and into your body. You see, the creative part of the brain, which is connected with your body, starts firing when you're in motion. Which is why I said second to dancing, because dancing is perhaps the best way. Even if you just listen to one song and dance to it, it's the easiest way to get out of your head into your body, because there are some things that do it quicker than others, and dancing is one of those things that gets you instantly out of your head and into your body. Number two is mindful breathing and meditation. There's a book by Dan Brulé called Breathe, B-R-E-A-T-H-E. Dan Brulé is B-R-U-L-E. It's my go-to book, and I read it. I think I've read it over a dozen times because it has a lot of breathing techniques. And the most effective breathing technique to get you out of your head into your body is mindful breathing, when you are focusing on nothing else but the breath, because then you start noticing your heartbeat. You start noticing your lungs and your diaphragm rising and falling. You might even hear your stomach. That connects you with your body again. And I've put breathing and meditation together because really, whilst you're breathing, you should be meditating on your breath. Let's look at tip number three. Now, if you are in a loving relationship with a partner, the third way is to make love to your partner. And that is an excellent way to get out of your head into your body. It's like a reset. And I want to make the point here that this only works if you are in a loving relationship. So beware of pornography. Studies show that it ruins intimacy. So if you are single, it ruins your chances of intimacy in the future and is extremely bad for mental health. Okay, the fourth technique is to connect with nature. You can do that by either walking in a national park, somewhere where there is no traffic, there's no noise pollution. And if you're not anywhere near that, maybe gardening as well. So gardening, where you're getting your hands into the soil and you're smelling the earth and you're noticing the plants, that is extremely good at getting out of your head and into your body. Number five is hugging a friend or a family member. When you hug someone, you automatically get into your body. There is something cathartic that happens when you are hugged by someone that you trust completely, someone that is important in your life. Number six is getting a massage. This works extremely well for getting out of your head and into your body. And so I'm sharing all these tips with you to give you basically a menu of things that you can go to, because sometimes I'm not in a position, or I'm too tired to exercise or sports, and I don't want to do mindful breathing, and I might just book a massage and just go and get a massage. And whilst you're getting a massage, you need to focus on the person's hands that is massaging you and how it's making your body feel. Again, it's about being mindful, because ultimately all these tips really are getting you to engage your five senses, and engaging the five senses of, you know, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch is the quickest way to get you back into your body. Some of these techniques engage one, two, three, four, or five of the five senses. The more senses that you engage, the more parts of your brain will fire that connects you to your body. And your brain then becomes a source of creativity, and your energy will rise to the surface. Because when you're living in your head, usually your energy is dampened. Anyway, I digress. The number seventh tip is doing the things you fear. I mentioned the five senses. Well, the five senses engage when we are doing something outside of our comfort zone, right? So traveling, for example, is outside of our comfort zone. You notice when you're traveling, you start noticing sights, sounds, the smell of spices in foreign countries. And this is my go-to in certain times. For example, I go to the beach and I absolutely fear the beach. Now, I love it as well, but I fear the beach because the beaches we have here in Australia, honestly, the waves just want to kill you, right? But the one thing it does, it actually completely takes me out of my head and into my body, because if I don't get out of my head and into my body, the waves are going to hurt me, or they might drag me out. So that's an example. You might think of other examples of the things that you fear. Okay, number eight is, I mentioned this earlier, it's listening to music and dancing. You lock the door, and if you're a little bit self-conscious, you close the windows, or sometimes I will put my speaker in the shower and I'll put the music on and I'll sing, right? So listening to music and singing and dancing is a great way to get into your body. Number nine, and this is my favorite on Saturday or Sunday, and that is typically on a Saturday for me, is taking an afternoon nap. Have you noticed when you take an afternoon nap and you come out of it, suddenly you just notice that the sky is bigger? You notice the breeze tickling the leaves on trees. You notice the birds. You notice everything. Your five senses just come alive. Number 10, lastly, is cooking and or eating food that is full of flavor and scent. So have you ever noticed how you are always drawn to food with flavor? And we're so blessed in Australia. You can go and have Chinese food one day, Indian food, Greek food, Lebanese food, Italian food, Japanese food, or an ordinary meat pie with sauce, right? But whatever it is, it has to be full of flavor, because this is what wakes our body up. That sense of smell and taste and sight, and this is one that engages all five senses, right? When you are looking at your food, that's the sense of sight. You're smelling, you're tasting. And this is why I like to eat with my hands. I'm of Lebanese background and we eat the food with bread. So I'm touching the food, I'm feeling the texture of the food, as well as tasting it and seeing it and smelling it. And it's an instant way, like within minutes, you'll notice the fog in your head just clear and you get out of your head and into your body. Okay, so that's my 10th tip. If you follow these 10 ways on a daily or weekly basis, I promise you that it will put you in a state of creativity, connection, and I promise you everyone in your life will notice the difference. Okay, well, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. As always, I produce these episodes with the utmost of respect for your time and love for your potential. And I'm going to leave you with the same message I leave you with every day, and that is, every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to start a new life. On that note, have a great day, and as always, live consciously, my friends.